That's a really good way to say it, Sam, because if you say cloud ready, which basically is just probably marketing talk, the cloud connected, which does have some functionality, and then you say cloud native, which really is living there. But if you combine the two articles, they said there's no point in having a product that no one can use because they can't connect to it. And then you go to this article and they magically kind of fix that. I think your explanation, Sam, that they're probably some percent native and they probably think they've solved the majority of the challenges for their customers.
Growing a business requires a holistic approach that extends beyond sales and marketing. This approach needs alignment among people, processes, and technologies. So if you're a business owner, operations, or finance leader looking to learn growth strategies from your peers and competitors, you're tuned into the right podcast. Welcome to the WBS Podcast, where scalable growth using business systems is our number one priority. Now, here is your host, Sam Gupta.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the WBS Podcast. I'm Sam Gupta, your host and principal consultant at digital transformation consulting firm Elevate IQ. Epicor is the household name for mid-market manufacturing and distribution companies. Just like Infor, it offers last mile functionality for manufacturing and distribution companies that may not be available to other enterprise players such as SAP, Oracle, and Microsoft. While Epicor may not be as global a solution as some of their larger competitors, they offer more value to the SMB manufacturers and distributors. Epicor also has a similar strategy as Infor and Aptean to focus on specific industry verticals in the manufacturing and distribution space and have acquired many last-mile products in the last few years. Due to multiple products in its portfolio, in the on-prem world, they have had similar challenges competing with other cloud-native vendors. While they have attempted to consolidate their portfolio and give their cloud strategy a new name, Kinetic, just like Infor branding its products under Cloud Suite, they are still actively selling and developing most of their legacy products. In today's episode, we invited a panel of industry experts for a live discussion on LinkedIn to discuss major stories in the ERP and digital transformation space and an objective and independent review of Epicor's capabilities. We covered several grounds, including the interview of different product offerings from Epicor and their positioning in the market. Finally, we discussed their cloud-native strategy, their market share in each micro-verticals, and the migration path for their legacy customers. With that, let's get to the conversation. Hello, everyone. Welcome to today's show. And today, we are going to be discussing Epicor. Our goal from these sessions is to provide the macro view of the company. We take two or three different perspectives in analyzing these vendors. Number one always is going to be the financial perspective, which is going to be our preference. And that perspective is going to come from the financial statements. But not every company produces financial statements, especially if you are going to be talking about the private companies. So, for example, today we don't have access to the financial statements. So we don't know what real strategy is of Epicor. So we need to connect the dots based on many different data points. So what we do is our first preference, as I said, is always going to be financial. If that is not going to be available, then we are going to be connecting the dots based on their market positioning, based on how consistent they have been in the news and reporting. So what we have done is we have gone back 4 or 5 years back and we have looked at every single news that they have released so far. Okay. And we have some very exciting insight overall in terms of what has happened with Epicor. So we are going to be discussing all of that. Before we do that, we are going to start with the intros of our panel. So I am going to start with you, Phil.
Hi, everybody. I'm Phil Kerper, Managing Director of Ringling Business Solutions. We help CEOs and leadership teams win digital transformation. My background is over 2 decades as a CEO or president of mid-market company. those company sizes were such where we typically didn't have a CIO or a COO often. So I had very hands-on involvement in standing up platforms, particularly ERP platforms. And I'm familiar with Epicor and looking forward to sharing some insights and hopefully making some contributions. So great to be here, Sam.
Okay, amazing. Thank you so much, Phil, for the intro. Dave, can I move to you next for your introduction?
Sure, happy to. Hey, everybody. My name is Dave Chrysler, and I founded a company called the Chrysler Club, where we work with business owners to help them create the systems that they need to free them from working in their business so it can grow. I spent more than 20 years in the manufacturing space in operations. So excited to jump in and participate on this panel. Thanks for having me, Sam.
Okay, amazing. Thank you so much for being here, Dave. Andy, can I move to you next for your intro?
Sure. Hi, my name is Andy Pratico. I've been involved with ERP software specifically for manufacturers for most of my career. I started in 1981. Let's do the quick math. That's 40 years. I've worked with manufacturers all over North America, about 2/3 of the U.S. states and 8/10 of the Canadian provinces, about 4,000 manufacturers in total, which is quite a few. And I've written and published a book on how to help companies evaluate and investigate and uncover the truth about ERP systems.
Okay, amazing. Thank you so much for being here, Andy. Angela, can I move to you next for your intro?
Hi, Sam. My name is Angela Thurman, and I am the Principal Managing Director of Thurman Co., a technical project management consulting firm in Houston. And the majority of my career has been in managing suppliers in the telecommunications and aerospace industries. And most of that has been in supply chain evaluation, including ERP systems.
Okay, amazing. Thank you so much for the intro, Angela. And we are going to now jump right into the topic. So first, we are going to cover 4 to 5 stories that we bring for you, and that is going to be very specific to either ERP or digital transformation. So the very first story that we have is going to be related to E2Open. And I don't know if you guys are familiar with the E2Open platform. They operate more into the supply chain execution space, which is a world in itself. It's sort of the network of all of the carriers that's going to have the 3PL play that is typically missing from your ERP systems, that is going to provide the end-to-end visibility into supply chain as you are going to ship the goods from your shipper to 3PL to, again, another 3PL, and then finally to your consumer. So these platforms claim that they have the entire digital supply chain mapped. Now, who has implemented that and how capable they are? I have not seen this in working, so I cannot really comment on how capable these platforms are. But one of the things that they have done is they have acquired a company called Blue Jays Solutions. And in this particular space, the network is going to be super important. The stronger your network is, the stronger your offering will be. Because the more, let's say, carriers you have in your network, the more transportation companies you have in your network, the more visibility you can provide. So if you compare this with your P2P ecosystem, where you have Aribas of the world, Coupas of the world, that is going to be more from the commerce network perspective. This is going to be more from the logistics execution perspective. So these two companies were very well known in the supply chain execution space, and they E2Open has acquired the Blue Jays. So I'll read out the news here. E2Open has announced the completion of its acquisition of Blue Jay Solutions, a cloud-based logistics execution platform. The company announced the execution earlier this year, and its completion makes E2Open one of the largest SaaS, and these guys are SaaS, it's very clear, supply chain software platforms. It will expand E2Open's network by nearly 25%. So as you can clearly see that, you know, they are very specific in that the network is going to grow by 25%, which is huge in my opinion, specifically in the logistics and transportation market. E2Open is a B2B provider of cloud-based and on-demand software for computer, telecom, electronics, and other supply chain markets. The company's collaborative platform collects real-time data from clients. So this is really about E2Open. But if we look at the insight about the execution, they are claiming that with the completed acquisition of BlueJay Solutions, E2Open expands its supply chain execution capabilities with a complementary global trade management platform. By the way, guys, if you're not familiar with this space, the trade management is going to be a big deal because you have a lot of complexities there. For example, if you talk about your custom brokerage management, you talk about, you know, how you are actually going to manage the duties, the fee, it gets very, 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 very complicated overall. The insurance companies are going to be part of it as well because somebody is trying to insure as the good actually move to supply chain. So obviously that's a big deal for them. And this custom declaration features BlueJay's had. So I think, you know, E2Open is going to be benefited by that. They were more into the D2C space. D2C companies are the ones that really require the supply chain traceability because for them, it's really important to be able to commit the date that they are committing to the consumers. So that's why these guys are really after the D2C market. BlueJay's was also very well penetrated in the UK market. So obviously now these guys are going to be able to cross-sell some of their offerings in the UK market. And they most likely the network, I don't know where BlueJay's network was, but it seems like, you know, they were primarily present in the UK or the Europe market.
So Sam, I was just going to comment that the ability to simplify anything involving declarations, the customs, all of the brokerages is going to be a great benefit to their customers. That is a morass that is very difficult to maneuver. And there are very few people or companies that do it well. So I'm happy to see that someone is moving forward with that and offering these benefits.
So my understanding of E2Open platform, to be honest, I mean, they had these capabilities, but they are going to get additional capabilities. So when you look at custom brokerage market, when you ship a good from point A to point B, the custom requirement for this particular entry is going to be different from the other point. So here, let's say if your ships are crossing the border in the UK. Now, the custom rules that you are going to have in the UK are going to be very different. So obviously, E2Open was very deep in these capabilities, but they were not as deep everywhere. So that's why the BlueJay solution is going to be super helpful for them in deepening their capabilities in some of the very specific regions.
Really good. Really wonderful to see.
So the next story is coming from the ECI Software Solutions. And if you guys are not familiar with this company, ECI has sort of become the new Info, the new Apicor, the new Aptiens of the smaller market. ECI as a company, in my mind, was always known for the Macola solution, if I remember correctly. Then now they have acquired a lot of companies. In this year, I think they have acquired JobBoss. Now they have acquired the company called Decom. And by the way, if you guys are, don't remember, we covered Decom in the QuickBook session, which we did 4 weeks back. They had acquired a company. Decom had acquired a company to deepen their capabilities in the S&OP planning space or the demand planning space. And now the Decom is being acquired. So it's a crazy market right now because they didn't know 4 weeks back that they were going to get acquired. That is slightly strange for me. So something is happening in the market that I'm not able to pinpoint. Here, ECI has acquired Decom for their process manufacturing market. Process manufacturing market has always been slightly trickier. There were not as many competitors as you would have in the discrete manufacturing market. My understanding of Decom offering was they were more into the DTC market, primarily the e-commerce shop, but seems like they had significant presence in the process manufacturing as well. And most likely, some of these companies are going to be either food manufacturers, because a lot of food manufacturers are very DTC, especially the newer startups. So they probably had that presence there. So the news is ECI Software Solutions has announced its acquisition of Decom Incorporation, a global provider of ERP software solutions for process and batch manufacturers. They are very clear in that they have acquired that for the process and batch manufacturing. But guys, since these are going to be completely different products, so I don't know how their corporate strategy is going to be. Most likely, they are going to be selling different solutions because Decom is a very fresh
solution. It's very new. Okay, it's almost like Acumatica. The other solutions are slightly older. So I don't know how they are going to position all of those solutions in their portfolio. While terms of the transaction were not disclosed, DCOM will be joining ECI's manufacturing division. ECI has presence in some of the other industries as well, but these guys are actually joining their manufacturing division and help it continue to serve discrete manufacturers and job shop worldwide. The acquisition will help ECI expand its client base with more batch and process manufacturing companies. With DCOM incorporation, DCOM ERP platform as part of its manufacturing division, ECI can expand its services for process manufacturing clients by offering them a single product capable of integrating all the modules and tools they need to succeed. These include warehouse management, e-commerce functionalities, quality control, and direct delivery services. Direct delivery is a very important piece because that almost falls in your TMS bucket, to be honest. But the newer food manufacturers, okay, especially the ones that are DTC, they have very e-commerce space, and then they are going to require a lot of DTC because if you look at some of these frozen food manufacturers, they maintain their own fleet. The way they are going to pack their food items is going to be very different from your traditional box manufacturers. So it's a very unique place in my mind. That's pretty much it in this story. The other story that I have is going to be Acumatica Cloud ERP. Acumatica has been trying to increase their international presence. As you guys know, Acumatica has been winning significantly in the US market. They moved to the UK market, I guess, last year. They had signed up partnership with a lot of different boards in the UK market. So they have been trying to get there. But now they are moving very aggressively, even in the APAC market. Okay, they have targeted some of the resellers in Sri Lanka, Bangladesh, and Maldives. And the primary focus industries are going to be really the distribution, manufacturing, and construction. As you guys know, obviously, Acumatica is a very solid platform overall in the cloud native space. Their biggest challenge right now is going to be really the localization to be able to position themselves as the global solution. So as they are deepening these partnerships, I think the next step is going to be how they can localize for the other markets so they can really position this as the global solution like some of the other bigger solutions that we have in the market. I will move to the last story of the day, and this is going to be related to MuleSoft. And if you guys are not familiar with MuleSoft, MuleSoft is the iPaaS solution. This is the integration platform as a service. So basically, the goal of this is going to be, if you have any typically iPaaS platforms, make it easier so that you don't have to worry about the code. It's really the no-code platform. Salesforce acquired this for a reason. As you guys know, Salesforce is a CRM company, and they wanted to integrate with everything so that they can rule the CRM market so that they don't have to get into the ERP market. From their perspective, they were always thinking that, you know what, there is not much innovation that is going to happen in the ERP market. They are going to be more like mainframe, the way mainframe works right now. It just sits in the back office. You are not going to have much of the innovation there. So what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to create the integration there because the most innovation is going to happen in the CRM platform. That's the mindset Salesforce is operating at this point of time. And that's why they have acquired companies like Tableau, companies like Slack. Their focus is going to be very pre-sales side of the process, the community building side of the process, sales and marketing side of the processes. So here they have acquired another company called ServiceTrace. By the way, they are deepening their capabilities in the field service space because they consider that as part of your CRM umbrella. So ServiceTrace is going to be the RPA solution. I don't know if MuleSoft has that there or not, but ServiceTrace is actually going to help them with the RPA capabilities in the no-code solution. Now, that's the end of the story. I'll take some quick comments for 2-3 minutes. After that, I'll move to the discussion about Apicore.
So quickly, Sam, the ECI acquisition was interesting to me for two reasons. First of all, that it is in the process space, which with Internet of Things and all the other things going on from data coming out of the process space on ERP, if you look at what they filled in, it was quality control, it was warehouse management, it was kind of the pieces around that that just looked very interesting, I would think would make them stronger. And on the logistics side, what a timely story, because logistics is a huge issue for everybody right now on all fronts. And I think people are looking at ERP and looking at the expanded digital ecosystem to say, how do we get in front of some of the problems we're having on logistics? And so that one also was timely, I thought, just from an industry standpoint.
I completely agree. The only comment I would make is when you talk about the process and batch manufacturing capabilities, these get slightly deeper in terms of the formula management, the recipe management, the recall traceability. We did not see any mention of that. Even the smaller companies, let's say if you have the DTC companies that are simply producing food, they still need to comply with HACCP. And if they have to comply with HACCP, they are going to require far deeper lot management capabilities, far deeper your recall management capabilities, and obviously the formula and recipe is going to be part of that. So we did not see any of that mentioned. So I don't know if, let's say, the Recom solution had those capabilities, maybe, maybe not. But in my mind, Becom was always more of the DTC solution as opposed to process and batch manufacturing solution. But unless we look at the screen, unless we look at the capabilities at a deeper level, we cannot say if they were really designed for batch manufacturing.
Yeah, and maybe what ECI had to start with, right, on some of those areas, if they had the expertise to start with in those areas or the capabilities.
So my understanding of ECI capabilities, they were never in the process manufacturing.
Yeah, so maybe that's a great point then maybe, because I haven't been personally involved in ECI. I know of them. Maybe that's another acquisition. Maybe you're predicting their next acquisition.
Maybe.
Well, I can tell you that ECI has definitely been bringing on more and more products through acquisition over the last 2 or 3 years. I mean, 5 years ago, they were not, I mean, they had some good products, their M1 system, and like Sam mentioned, JobBoss, and another one called Max. They had a lot of customers in their portfolio. But, you know, as of recently, it's like, wow, they're turning into a pretty substantial company.
Yeah. So my comment to ECI is going to be, and we need to look at who is really investing in ECI, to be honest. You know, the kind of deals I know of the ECI market, they are charging like what, $5,000, $10,000 for the entire deal. And yeah, I don't know how they are going to feed their families.
But I think DCOM is much larger though, right?
If ECI has acquired, my assumption is going to be, I mean, that's what I was thinking, because I have seen a lot of industry analysts comparing DCOM with Acumatica. And as you guys know, Acumatica is obviously very big right now, but obviously your DCOM wasn't as big as Acumatica because it got acquired by ECI. ECI was a very small company in my opinion. It's definitely not your Infor or Apicor. We need to look at, and again, we are going to be covering ECI in the later sessions, and we'll see how they are positioned in the market, how many customers they have, and what is the size of the customer. That is also very important. You might have 200,000 customers, and if they are paying $200, you know, per year, and if you have, let's say you are a SAP and you have one customer that is actually paying $2 million a year, you know, that's not a real comparison. So a lot of times companies are going to simply look at the numbers. Okay, this company has got 200,000 customers. Yes, they have got, but they are paying $200. So let's move to Apicor quickly, and we'll try to finish this so that we can move to our discussion, which is always the fun part. So Apicor, the way we have done, as you guys know, we don't really have the financial statements available. There are some private companies that actually publish the financial statements because they have to comply with servants of. My personal preference, okay, is always to go with the company that is publishing the financial statements, because then you know how real the company is. If you are really financially strong, then you should have no hesitation in publishing your real data than simply claiming that I've got 20,000, 25, 27,000 customers when you are not providing your investors a clear picture publicly in terms of what your real business model is, who's funding you, what your cash position is at this point of time. In case of ERP system, it matters a lot. I'll tell you why. Because you need to have the R&D dollars. You need to have enough funds in your bank to be able to update the ERP system, because you need to comply with law. You need to comply with accounting regulations on a daily basis. If you don't have that funding in your bank account, and if you cannot demonstrate that, in my books, I don't trust those companies, to be honest. My preference always is going to be for the public companies, just because we have a lot more data points available for them publicly. So here, in case of EpiCore, we don't have that. Now, so we are going to look at their marketing positioning, how they are positioned in the market. So here, if you look at their menu structure, the way they have structured, I just did not know how to correlate these product offerings, to be honest, okay? So the very first offering that they have is called BizRack. Now, it's not even an ERP. Now, if EpiCore is really positioned as the ERP company, as a marketer, if I were EpiCore, then I would be putting that as my flagship product, okay? That's my number one, okay? If NetSuite is my number one product, that's going number one. Then I am actually going to say that I have these bunch of add-ons that I sell. But here, BizTrack is the number one product for some reason. I don't know if this is just the poor marketing or BizTrack really has very significant market share that they want their customers to first click that link, okay? So BizTrack is positioned in the building supply market, okay? Then you have one more product called LumberTrack. LumberTrack is positioned for the lumber company, okay? So they have very unique offerings in the building supply and the lumber supply companies, okay? And they have some of the other products such as CMS Automotive, Eagle Automotive, and Vision. And these are very unique offerings for automotive industries, okay? They have things like, I don't know whether you guys have seen the demos of a company called Jan Alpha. So they are positioned in the aftermarket manufacturer. So typically what they need is they need the visualization of their entire equipment so that if anybody needs to know which part they are trying to buy, they should be able to visualize that. That's what is called sort of the cataloging in that space. So the automotive companies, especially in the aftermarket, they require these capabilities. So CMS Automotive, Eagle Automotive, Vision, they are going to have very deep capabilities for these automotive companies. Now, if you look at the Eclipse solution, okay?
Aren't those in alphabetical order?
Yes, they are. So
so they're not prioritizing them as their most meaningful solution. They're just in alphabetical order.
So as a marketer, I would not do that.
I wouldn't do that either.
As a marketer, it's a horrible idea. Maybe they didn't want to make anybody internally angry at who went first.
But great catch. Thank you so much, Angela, for figuring that out.
Yeah, no, I think we all noticed that. But these descriptions on the right-hand column, I see you've got little arrows pointing all directions. Was this all in one screen, or is this two screens that were put together?
So this is one screen. This is the screenshot of their homepage of the menu. So typically, if I am actually designing these menus, I would have, let's say, you know, automotive companies, you go here, you know,
aligned to, each one aligned to their description. Yeah, wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, they do a little bit better on that later, but yeah, this one's tough. This particular one is tough.
Great catch, by the way, Angela. Thank you so much for that. Now, one of the things that I noticed is Eclipse is their flagship product. Okay, they have been winning a lot in the electrical distribution space. And guys, if you are not familiar with electrical distribution space, that's a very unique space, okay? It has flavors of construction because, as you know, when you are constructing your buildings, you have to coordinate with your general contractors. They are actually going to require your electricians and plumbers. And then, you know, so the way the electrical contractor business or the electrical distribution business works is a lot of electrical distributors have a lot of contract business as well that they carry as part of their business model. So Eclipse is the go-to product in that market, okay? And by the way, EpiCore claims that I could not find the actual number of customers. Sometimes they are claiming that they have roughly 20,000. On their site, it's claimed that they have 27,000 customers, okay? Right now, as of today. Now, among those 27 or 20, I don't know which one to trust, to be honest. Sometimes they are referring 20, sometimes 27. Eclipse, in their documentation, has 4,500 customers, okay? This is a very unique product. I mean, this is not even their flagship product. So their 4,500 customers are coming from a very niche product targeted for the electrical distributors. So now you are going to actually wonder and question that, okay, you have so many different products and you don't know what is going on here. You have no idea what is the count of their flagship product at this point. How many installations do they really have? Okay, they are going to claim I have 27,000, but that 27,000 is not really for their flagship product, because these all products completely different. They are going to have different databases. They are going to have their own product roadmap. They are going to have their release schedule. They are going to have different code bases. They are most likely, they might be integrated, but as you know how integration works, but it's not just one product. So now one conclusion that you can make from this is their flagship product is probably going to be somewhere around 7,000, maybe 6,000. And if that is the case, then Apicore flagship product is probably smaller than your Acumatica and NetSuite. Think about that, guys.
Absolutely.
Okay. So that's my conclusion. I could be off a little bit, but that's what I am reading based on the data that I have here. So Eclipse is 4,500. We have no number for this is the Apicore ERP 10 product, which has been named as the Kinetic product. Okay. Then you have obviously the LumberTrack. By the way, they have always been very strong in the retail space. Okay, they had three pillars as per their corporate positioning: retail, distribution, manufacturing. Okay, from there, if you actually read some of these statements right before KKR investment, and KKR was the private equity company that invested somewhere around 2016, and they exited in 2016 within 4 years. Before that, they actually wanted to make Apicore cloud ready. Apicore's challenge has always been they were never a cloud ready company. They are significantly late overall. Okay. So their goal was to reduce the footprint that they have from the product perspective. As you can see, it's very busy right now. They have a lot of products. If you try to convert all of them in cloud, you are going to have nightmare. You are going to probably require billions and billions of dollars. So now you have to figure out how to basically manage this and then move to cloud, right? So they had to figure out, okay, what can I do as a company? So what they did is they actually wanted to balance their portfolio. So one of the things that they did is they actually spun off one of the company called Aptos. Okay, they had roughly over 1,000 installations in Fortune 500 companies. Okay, so this was a very omni-channel retail platform that they had, and they spun off right before KKR acquisition. Now, I don't know what were the reasons why they spun that off, but Apicore was never positioned as the manufacturing play. They were more of the retail distribution sort of play in 2015. That's where Acumatica and NetSuite became super strong. They really started penetrating the cloud market. So now Apicore had to figure out, okay, what do we do? So that's where they started deepening their capabilities more in the manufacturing space. Now we are going to look at more data points to validate this hypothesis than the one I'm making right now. So here, Propello is still very retail solution that they sell for their retail market. Profit 21 is the distribution solution. This is their flagship product for the distribution industry. So if a distributor is coming to them and asking for a solution, they are not going to position manufacturing solution. They are going to position distribution solution. And this was very well known. It's a brand name in the distribution community, Profit 21. Okay, there is no clear roadmap for that. We'll discuss that later as well. Vision is, as I mentioned, the automotive solution. So now this is the second menu that we have covered so far. Now we are actually going to move to their industry solution. Okay, so we are going to discuss the industry solution, how they are presented, and what Apicore wants customers to look at when they look at these industries. So now on the next slide, I have the industry product solution, and the very first one is going to be automotive. As you know, they're really strong in automotive. There's no question about that. They really want to, and by the way, that's a surprise for me. I didn't know Apicore was this strong in the automotive space, but that's their go-to-market, which is dominated by companies like Plex right now. If you ask any automotive company, they would say, you know what, Plex is the go-to solution for the automotive companies. But surprisingly enough, Apicore has a large presence in the automotive market. Building supply, obviously, building supply is a big one just because of that, number one, Eclipse product, Distrack product, the number solution. I don't think you are going to find that solution anywhere else. So obviously, that's a big one. Apicore for distribution is the Profit 21 solution that we just saw. Okay, so for the industries, they are still providing that Profit 21 solution that we are going to look at in just a second. And then for manufacturing is their flagship product. The Apicore 10, the Kinetic product that they have, is the flagship product. And if you click on that menu, they are directing you to the Kinetic solution. So now we are going to see, what their cloud native strategy is going to be. They are positioning the Kinetic solution as their cloud native solution, but how are they going to fulfill all of these niche industries where they had real market share? The only reason why Epicor was winning is because of all these niche capabilities. It's not necessarily because of the strong product. It's really because they had this niche capabilities in all of these industries. And if you look at the retail is, they point to the Propello solution, which is the cloud native omni-channel POS centric solution. It's not really ERP.
Yeah, just to clarify, and Andy, you may know this better than I do, but I believe Epicor's positioning of automotive as number one is aftermarket. It's not on the operational side. I don't think they have strength in automotive manufacturing. I think they have strength in the automotive aftermarket and services space.
Absolutely, Phil. It's aftermarket, or it's a second or third tier supplier to the main automotive manufacturers.
Yeah, I don't think these guys are living in the core automotive or even the direct supply chain, which are big companies with a lot more going on than I think this software is probably going to, you know, be aimed at, let's say.
So guys, I'm actually going to have one recommendation for Epicor, to be honest. They should probably hire Angela as their marketer, because the way I'm suspecting here is it's the way it is positioned. So if you look at automotive building supply, yeah, I really don't know why they would do that. They really need a marketer.
Well, at least they know their ABCs.
Marketing, to be honest with you, Sam.
Yeah, at least they know their ABCs, Sam. That's pretty good.
They do.
Yeah. So, all right. So maybe we are not reading it right, because my assumption and my expectation, if I look at any company, is going to be you are going to position yourself based on your market share. Yeah. Okay, that's how I like to see things. I mean, that's how marketers like to see things in the structured manner. Okay, so I think we are definitely misreading something here. Maybe automotive is not their primary market. Maybe something else we don't know. We cannot really interpret because we don't have enough data right now. But if you look at the building supply, so they have BizTrack, they have LumberTrack. So all of these are on-prem legacy solutions. Guys, if you look at the screens of these products, they are very outdated. Okay? They are extremely outdated. They have not been updated for I don't know how long.
There's not a lot of R&D spent on those ones.
Yes. And you are actually going to get the same feel as you were getting for Fishbowl, to be honest. Okay. If you compare the screen, and we can do one comparison short. Okay. We can do the comparison. Desktop screens, as you know, look very different than your cloud native screens. We all know how to identify that. If you actually look at the details, you can figure those out. So obviously they are not investing a lot. They are simply trying to please those customers right now. But the question is going to be, what is the path for these customers on the newer solution is going to be my question. So building supply, obviously they have not positioned Kinetic here that, okay, if you are cloud, then go to Kinetic. They are not doing that. They are still positioning your BizTrack, LumberTrack, warehouse management. So those three solutions they are positioning for building supply. Okay, distribution. As you guys know, for distribution, they are positioning it as the Prophet 21. Okay, so that's their flagship product for distribution. Not for manufacturing. This is a very distribution-centric solution. It's a very successful solution, but it's a completely different product from your Epicor ERP10. A lot of people get confused. They are going to feel that, you know what? I'm simply using Epicor. Epicor has a lot of different products. In fact, one of the things that I have heard in the community is Epicor is just one product. No. They have a lot of products, okay? And we are going to actually look at their support screen. The biggest place, if you want to find out whether you are using one product or you are using combination of products integrated together, you need to go to their support screen. And I'll tell you why. Because when you are actually going to call the support guy, the very first question the support person is going to ask you, okay, which is the product that you are using? Which is the version that you are using? What is the mode of deployment for your product? Otherwise, I cannot support you. So that's why the support is really important, and we have taken the screenshot of that as well in terms of how many products they have underneath. Epicor for manufacturing, this is the only one they are saying that, you know what, I'm actually going to go cloud native. Kinetic is go to market, but the only place where they have really positioned this is Kinetic. Now, I don't know if this is really the poor marketing or it's really the strategy. So there's something off here, but they don't have a clear strategy for the existing legacy customers that they had in those niche industries. Now, let's go to my retail. So retail, the only thing has is the Propello. Obviously, this is not the ERP system. So for customers, this could be confusing because they might feel that I'm actually getting the ERP, but it's really the POS system, retail management platform. It says born in the cloud. Sure, the only piece that is going to be born in the cloud is really going to be your POS solution. It's not going to be your core ERP. So there is a lot of confusion overall in the way they have structured their marketing and strategy in my mind.
Tell me something, Sam. Is this Propello, is it more of an add-on to the Profit 21 tool?
So I think they are selling Propello with whichever solution they might have. So I've seen this being used with Epicore ERP 10, because if the company is going to have deeper manufacturing needs, along with, let's say, they have their own distribution channel, then Propello would be used with Epicore ERP 10. Yeah. Otherwise, so it's really the add-on that could be used with any of the platforms. So let's keep moving here. Now, let's look at their cloud solutions, okay? So most companies that we saw in case of Oracle, the only solutions they are positioning in the market is going to be your flagship product that Oracle has, and then secondary is going to be your NetSuite. That's how their marketing positioning was. But in case of Epicore, when we look at the cloud solutions, great, okay? They are targeting three industries. That's consistent with the news that, okay, I am going to have three pillars. They are going to be equal. I'm not saying that my manufacturing pillar is bigger than my distribution. I'm going to have equal presence in all these three categories. That's how Epicore likes to position themselves in the news, in the media, in the market. So now, as you can see, these are three pillars. And from marketing perspective, if the marketing is done right, I can see these three are evenly positioned. Now, let's look at what's happening underneath them. So in case of manufacturing, as you can see, if you pay attention to the URL, URL says manufacturing cloud is equal to yes. Okay. What that means is if you are looking for a cloud solution and if you are a manufacturing company, I want you to buy Kinetic. Okay. That's what it means in the marketing terms. So obviously they want, so let's say, if any of the manufacturers are going to go to Epicore, they are most likely going to point them to Kinetic, but they are not going to get all the bells and whistles that were available through the other manufacturing platforms where they had significant deeper expertise, such as your automotive. Now, let's look at some more screens here. Now, if you look at the distribution, this is very interesting. If you look at the news, they are claiming that they have killed all of their legacy products and their go-to platform is going to be Kinetic. But if you look at their cloud positioning from the market perspective, right now they are positioning Profit 21, because obviously if the customers are actually going to buy Kinetic, they are going to be super confused that I'm not a manufacturing company. You are trying to sell me a manufacturing solution. Okay, so that's why they are actually going to position Profit 21. But I could not find a clear strategy for Profit 21, whether that is going to be cloud native or not. So it's very interesting. Now, let's look at the third pillar. And third pillar is the funniest. Now, as a corporate entity, you are actually trying to position three pillars. And in case of retail, the only thing I'm selling you is going to be my POS, which I find fascinating because obviously retail companies need an ERP as well. So I would have liked to see here either Kinetic or Profit 21. But Andy, I think you are right, since they are trying to position on both of them. So they don't want to make it confusing by positioning two different products underneath your POS. So that's a tricky part, I guess. That's why they probably don't have an ERP for retail customers. Now, let's look at some news. And this is the recent news that they have. As you guys can see the date, this is coming like a month back or 2-3 months back. So here they are saying, and this is, by the way, this is the search target platform. Obviously, they are very credible. So here they are saying Epicore Software Corporation is making a play as a cloud-first ERP company with the rebranding of its flagship Epicore product, okay? So cloud-first ERP company, I get the mindset, but they are trying to oversell, and Epicore is the only company that I have seen overselling this, okay? They are saying, calling themselves as cloud-native. None of the companies, including your Sage, Oracle, we have already seen that they did not call themselves as cloud native. They call themselves as cloud connected. If you actually look at the news, Epicore ERP 10, now called Epicore Kinetic, is a multi-tenant SaaS ERP system for small to medium-sized manufacturing and distribution firms, and offers functionality for specific industries, including discrete manufacturing, process manufacturing, metals, and lumber. By the way, guys, I have not seen any capabilities related to process manufacturing so far in their data sheet. But they somehow have claimed that, you know, they have capabilities for process manufacturing, which I find a bit misleading, in my opinion. Although ApiCore ERP 10 was cloud ready. So they are saying that ApiCore 10 was cloud ready, but they chose to go with your cloud native solution called Kinetic. By the way, guys, Kinetic is just a UX layer. SAP has done this 5 years back with the platform called Fury. Okay. Infor did this 4 or 5 years back as well. And Andy, you can remind me what is their UX platform called? Mongoose.
Mongoose. That's the development tool.
Yeah. So
built-in development tool.
Yeah. So this is the same mindset that they are playing in 2021.
Okay, oh, guys? I know.
And well, by the way.
I know, but what's really interesting is that it's, you know, this whole claim, it's although ApiCore ERP was cloud ready, what does that mean?
Yeah, so we are going to dig into all of that. Let's, look at the overall positioning. In my mind, the only thing they have done is they have simply improvised their UI layer. It's not really cloud native. It's still very cloud connected solution. In fact, if you look at their screens right now, to be honest, they are very desktop looking. Even the cloud connected solutions, if you look at Sage X3, if you look at your Infor screens, they are slightly better than what ApiCore has. The only reason is because they are late in the market, and that could be the reason why KKR really wanted out within 4 years. Okay, so we'll look into that as well. Just give me a second here. So here, this is coming from the president. By the way, there has been a lot of management changes as well. Now, their CTO is the president. So the new president is saying it was essential to get the products, which is sometimes the easier job, and then start converting our 20,000 on-premise customers to the cloud. Okay, so obviously that's their big challenge that they have, but how they are going to convert is not clear. So now I'm actually going to move to the next slide here. This is other news that we have. This is coming from what? This is also in June 2021. Here, they are clearly saying the Kinetic was the name for the UX framework, which means the underlying code is still going to be legacy. The only thing that they have done is the improvise the UX framework. And we don't even know if this includes the UI layer. They are changing the mindset of development. That's what frameworks mean in my mind. That was first announced and has been a big news, but you know, SAP, Infor, and a lot of other companies have done this long back.
Is this, I hate to use an expression that's derogatory, but is this the old story of lipstick on a pig?
I'm not too sure about that, but okay. I'll let other panelists, comment on that.
But come back to your definition of framework.
Right.
You know, that this second paragraph where you've highlighted in red does not make sense, right? That they took a system that was quote unquote cloud ready, which doesn't mean much, to native cloud by renaming it and using the different framework. I mean, that doesn't make sense to me. I don't think that's possible. Andy, is that even possible? Yeah.
I'm not going to use that expression again, but that's what it sounds like to me.
Yeah, so I don't use that term, the one that you mentioned, Andy. I call this as fake cloud. Okay?
Fake cloud.
Fake cloud is a real
term.
That's
much better than my term. Yes, I agree.
Yeah, so some people like to call this as cloud connected. Obviously, it's going to be the degree of cloud nativeness. Okay, that's what is important. And sometimes people simply, even if you're, let's say, 10% cloud native, they are going to sell themselves as 100% cloud native.
And I think that's a really good way to say it, Sam, because if you say cloud ready, which basically is just probably marketing talk, you say cloud connected, which does have some functionality, and then you say cloud native, which really is living there. But if you combine the two articles, they said there's no point in having a product that no one can use because they can't connect to it. And then you go to this article and they magically kind of fix that. I think your explanation, Sam, that they're probably some percent native and they probably think they've solved the majority of the challenges for their customers.
Exactly. I completely agree with you guys. So here we are actually going to look at the support slide, the one that I had mentioned. And this is where you get the real picture of what is happening underneath. Okay, so this is where you are going to find zillions of products. And by the way, guys, today I had KKR as the investor. Tomorrow I get another investor and they don't feel that ECS 4CL should be part of my corporate strategy. You are gone because you were using that product underneath as part of your ERP solution. So that's why the number of products that a company carrying in the background matters a lot.
And Sam, is this slide saying that all those packages, which it looks like there's about 100 there, are supported?
They are supporting pretty much everything because they have to support their legacy customers.
Really? A lot of companies have like moved on. 2000 Manfact, all those 1980 products?
As per their marketing, yes.
Wow.
Unless they are not updating their site. Still?
Holy cow. Okay.
Okay, so now let's move to the next slide. So here, this is a very product-specific information. And the reason why this has product information is because we wanted to simply identify the red flags. Okay, in terms of the corporate strategy, sometimes we have to use the example of the specific product. And by the way, if Epicor is claiming that my Kinetic is going to be my go-to product, I am going to sell Kinetic to everybody because this is going to be my cloud-native product, then this is the product that everybody should be paying attention to because this is the one that is going to be comparable to your NetSuite, Acumatica, Enforce, SAP of the world, right? So here, one of the things that they have claimed in their data sheet is going to be integration to Salesforce. And that's where I got the mention of Jitterbit. By the way, guys, if you are not familiar with Jitterbit, Jitterbit is the iPaaS platform. Okay, I didn't realize that Epicor actually had a relationship with Jitterbit. And I don't know if they are using Jitterbit as the iPaaS to integrate all of these solutions underneath. But for Salesforce, they are definitely using that. Okay, so that's a point to be noted that they use Jitterbit in some capacity. So if you are looking at the contract from Epicor, make sure you are paying attention to the mention of Jitterbit, where exactly that is being used. The other things that I noted in their supply chain management capabilities, they have a lot of different capabilities related to EDI just because they acquired a company which had very deep EDI capabilities natively, which is a strength for Epicor. One of the things that I really liked about Epicor is going to be product lifecycle management. That is part of your ERP. A lot of the PLM practitioners, if you ask them, they typically don't like PLM solution as part of your ERP just because it's not as friendly. But Epicor is actually providing that as part of the core. But guys, in the next slide, I'm going to show you that quality module that they have, that's not inbuilt as part of Epicor. Okay? That is used from a third party, and a third party name is actually mentioned there. So now, if you think more from the corporate strategy perspective, okay, so I'm a manufacturing ERP, and I'm not going to provide you quality. And this is the approach that even companies like Acumatica takes. Okay, they don't have a quality module inbuilt. They are relying on a third party, okay, for their quality. Here, Epicor is relying on a third party as well. So what do you perceive from this? So maybe what Epicor is trying to do is, I'm not going to go into the more regulated industries where I am going to have a lot more quality requirements. I'll stick to slightly more lighter manufacturing situations where I am going to have a lot more needs from the shop floor perspective. I'm going to go really strong in my industry 4.0 capabilities. By the way, guys, if you pay attention to the news, you are going to see all of this in the recent developments. So they are really targeting the companies. And by the way, they are really strong in automotive. Automotive asks for a lot of different industry 4.0 capabilities. For them, if their one line is going to be down, and then there's going to be like millions of dollars they are going to lose. So obviously they need to focus a lot more on their industry 4.0 capabilities, but they are not as worried about quality for some reason.
So Sam,
yeah,
I do have a comment about the PLM though too. So even though they say that they have a strong PLM, I would say that it may be not as strong as what they're representing, because while they say that it allows for secure document storage and so forth, it also says that it requires integration with something like SharePoint. So that's going to require role-specific security measures.
So most of these platforms are really .NET based. So in my mind, I think they all should integrate or play well with SharePoint. just because that's the same ecosystem that you have in Microsoft. So I don't know if I would call them out on that, but there is some underlying integration. I don't know if this is part of the real products or they are simply trying to integrate multiple PLM products with your ERP. And that we can probably look at the product support slides to find that out. But they have PLM capabilities, at least for the electronics manufacturing industry. Okay.
Well, their brochure specifically says that Epicore PLM provides an electronic vault where documents can be securely stored and where access and versioning can be tightly controlled.
I think they're just describing engineering change control, and that's just a very marketing way to describe that.
Yeah, subset of document management.
That's on in the PLM section. But if those documents are having to be stored in some other system than Epicore, such as SharePoint, then the security measures are not resident in Epicore. They're going to be up to whoever is the administrator of the SharePoint site.
Or the true Vault software.
Exactly.
Yeah. So Epicore, they've always been pretty good spin doctors. They can make anything sound like it does it.
So most of the integrated solutions are going to figure out their user security and user access. To be honest, even if you're looking at very connected solution, even if that is going to be integrated using iPaaS, they will still follow your GRC. In fact, if you look at some of the other slides, Epicore does have its own GRC, which is going to be your governance, risk, and what is that, compliance, I guess. So across the applications, you are going to be able to manage your user security. That's definitely not a problem for Epicore, in my mind, even if they are integrated. My challenge is going to be, I cannot conclude based on the slides whether Epicore PLM is a completely different product or is it built as part of ERP. But the way they have worded Epicore PLM, which would mean that Epicore PLM is probably a product in itself, and then they are trying to integrate that with Epicore. And by the way, we don't even know who owns the code. Sometimes they are going to sell this as white label solution, but then that's going to be somebody else's solution. All right, guys, so we'll move quickly here. One of the things that I noticed with Epicore is they do have the quick ship solution, which is very unique. This you are not going to find in a lot of different ERP systems, to be honest. And this is going to be a need for a lot of different manufacturers. So let's say if you need this, you are probably going to require an add-on such as your PayStats of the world, or there are many other, ship add-ons, but Epicore has included this as part of their capability. But now I don't know who owns this code, but this is part of their data sheet. So most likely they are providing that as part of the Epicore solution.
Epicore bought the Insight product about 8 years ago, I want to guess. So I'm sure that's what that is, which is a very strong shipping tool.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. But I mean, with the other ERP systems, you are probably going to require an add-on. So that's an edge for Epicore in my mind.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And they have a very strong demand planner and the SNOP functionality as well. So the way I'm picturing Epicore solution, it's going to be very complete solution out of the box for smaller manufacturing companies, but it is not going to have as many global capabilities because they are not very clear in terms of what localization they have for other countries. So they are.
Well, the fact that it's mentioning statistical forecasting and emphasizing that, that usually implies that it's more of a widget manufacturing tool it's targeted at, something that's forecastable, right? Not a custom manufacturer.
Yes, but I mean, not everybody is going to use every single capability out there.
I understood. Yes, absolutely correct.
But in this particular case, their marketing people deserve a little credit because both of these are impactful out of the box. You can get both of these. The QuickShip program, you can get that as an add-on or whatever to anything you buy. But if that's really out of the box, ready to go, those are two nice features.
Strong.
Yeah, I agree. All right, guys, so we are going to move quickly. So this is the QMS solution that I mentioned, and this is provided by ETQ Reliance. ETQ Reliance is a very strong quality provider. They do a lot of certifications such as your CMMC. They're very, very, very strong. So Epicore does not seem to have its own quality module. So I would think that they are going to struggle with the in-process quality requirements that a lot of industries are going to going to have. Now, I don't know if the companies that might be using EpiCore, they might be happy with EpiCore, but they may not have implemented all of those process flows related to in-process quality, because if you are going to be using an external solution, then you will probably have challenges there. So pay attention to this. And by the way, this is owned by ETQ, which could change at any point of time, depending upon who is really the investor in all those companies. Because typically, when whoever is investing, they are going to have their own corporate strategy in terms of how they want to move the market. Okay, so I have some more to go. This is where they are trying to advance their MES ecosystem. Ooh. They are really going strong in their MES capabilities. They are trying to bring as many Industry 4.0 capabilities as possible as part of their core ERP solution, which is fascinating in my mind when they are not investing that money in the quality module, but they are investing in Industry 4.0 capability. In my mind, if I were trying to target manufacturing, I would probably build the quality module first, then go for my Industry 4.0.
Absolutely.
Because you can use a lot of different MES. So from the corporate strategy perspective, I think they are going after companies that are going to be slightly more into commoditized manufacturing as opposed to complex manufacturing. That's how I would perceive, but we don't have enough data points to be able to conclude.
Does this imply that it's owned by Sage?
No, this is a Sage Clarity is a different company.
Oh, it's just a brand. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So we have one more news. They have acquired one CPQ solution, and this is a very strong CPQ solution that they have acquired.
This is interesting.
Okay, this is very cloud native. Obviously, they have had a lot of reviews related to their CPQ solution. It wasn't as strong. KB Max is a cloud native solution. Okay, it's beautiful. It's wonderful. So now, how is that going to be integrated with the core ERP? You could probably notice the difference in the screens that KB Max has and EpiCore 10 has. It's going to be different worlds altogether. So now it's going to be really interesting to see how this integration is going to play out and when they are going to integrate. And by the way, this offering is going to be relevant to slightly more configurable products, slightly more complex manufacturing, because that's where you are probably going to require your CPQ solution, right? So I'm a bit confused overall in the positioning perspective, whether they are trying to target more of the mass manufacturing, advanced manufacturing. They are not really investing in quality. But this is what I could gather based on the insight that we have.
How is this going to affect the companies that have bought EpiCore's configurator already, the one they already had?
It could be because of that, because they are changing the investors very frequently, and everybody has their own opinions, as you know, Andy, right? So, you know, some people might want to go after some of these configurable manufacturing because that's where they might have a lot of connections or maybe a lot of companies in their portfolio. So now they want to target that. KKR wanted to target something else. So they had to change their strategy quickly.
Andy, I think the answer to that is going to be a full implementation to go to their top product if you're sitting on the ERP legacy software.
I would agree. It'll be interesting whether they quit supporting their old tool or not.
Yeah. Well, Sage had the same thing to go all the way to their top cloud-based product.
Yeah.
You know, it's a full implementation. There's very little of what's sitting in your legacy on-prem stuff that comes along.
But this does sound impressive. I mean, it looks like it's from what it says, it's a world-class CPQ.
Yeah, but I mean, overall, if you look at the capabilities, that in my opinion, I think EpiCore is very late. Other companies have done this 4 or 5 years back.
Oh, yeah.
And they are far ahead in their cloud game. And again, I'm simply trying to conclude here. I don't know, Amiti. I tried to look for some of the documentation why KKR moved out. They said that, you know, before acquisition, their growth was completely flat. Since they invested in EpiCore, now they have tried to make the EpiCore the cloud company. Now, I don't know what that means, to be honest, because now, if you look at their offering, they don't have clear product strategy. In my mind, I don't know what cloud strategy is. If it is simply rebranding their UX layer and calling one product your cloud native, when you don't have a clear path of migration for your legacy products, I don't know how they are going to migrate, because they all are very different products. They are very different industries. You cannot simply change your manufacturing product to fit into your electrical distribution company unless you design a product from scratch, which is going to be slightly more modular, slightly more platform-centric. The way NetSuite is designed, the way Acumatica is designed, it's going to be very, very, very hard for EpiCore. Any other questions or comments, guys? Dave, any clarifying comments?
No, I think for me, Sam, and taking all this in, it really reminds me of asking all the appropriate questions during the entire ERP process, because whether it's marketing speak that we've kind of talked to some of those points, whether Sam, I thought you brought up a really great comment earlier in the discussion today about understanding the company that you're investing in, because an ERP implementation really is an undertaking. And so understanding where you're investing your money and will this company be around in the long term? Will they be able to support this? And kind of the other part of this for me is, if you invest in a solution today, what does a potential transformation or a potential upgrade in the future look like? These are all questions you should be asking. And as I sat and listened to, you know, everything that everybody was saying to take it in, I just really reminded of that. And I thought it was important to bring that back up, because so often we don't know the questions to be asking. So I think this is just tremendously valuable just from that perspective alone.
You know, David, asking the right questions is step one, but understanding and interpreting the correct answers is the other. Because we can all have a list of questions, and you know, the salesman's going to say yes, 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 yes. You have to know how to ask the question. You have to know how to interpret the answer.
Yeah, that's a super valid point, Andy. And, you know, I think that's where having an intermediary or somebody, some valued, you know, person on the team or an independent that you can trust to be able to, you know, to your point, if somebody is going to give you some of that marketing speak, to be able to cut through it and to really get to the meat of what you're trying to find out. Because Absolutely. It's very easy, as we've seen in several of these slides, to have some semantics around what is happening in reality. So, yeah.
Hey, in my opinion, evaluating ERP software is one of the most difficult things companies ever do. And in my opinion, evaluating ERP software is humanly impossible.
At some point, you got to call a play, right? There's only so much energy you have in order to go through the evaluation process. But Sam, I thought you provided a couple tools on this topic that are very important. And one of them is pay close attention to whether the functionality is part of the company or is outsourced. And if the functionality is outsourced, make sure you mind the T's and C's of the agreements you're signing on what rights you have, how it's going to be supported, how that license is being subbed to you is super important. And the second thing that I would observe, and it's really interesting, I think, from all of these Tuesday sessions as we evaluate these, is you can really get this look at, you're trying to figure out a puzzle of what is their product roadmap. You know, how are they trying to go to the cloud? How are they putting it together? And they all have challenges, right? No one has like this clean way to do this. The real big guys started earlier and have more resources. Epicor has some real challenges. They've got a tremendous amount of legacy products that they're saying they're supporting, and they're adding products that some of them look pretty good. You know, like that pricing product looked pretty great, but I can't get my head around, if I'm sitting here on the legacy platform, how the heck am I going to get there? And if I buy the new platform, how much functionality is really sitting in these new platforms that I'm buying? It's you really got to do your homework with this one.
Well, it's not just that, Phil. You know, like companies like Epicor, and there's a lot of ERP companies are buying products, as Sam mentioned, every day of the week. Yeah. And, you know, they buy these products and all of a sudden their marketing spin doctors tell the world how great they are with this new product. But they don't tell you that it's not integrated to the main core system, because it doesn't happen overnight. It takes years.
I completely agree, guys. Thank you so much, everyone, for joining. This was a powerful conversation.
Thanks, Sam.
Thanks, Sam.
Thanks, as usual, Sam. Good session.
Yeah.
I cannot thank our guests enough for coming on the show, for sharing their knowledge and journey. I always pick up learnings from our guests, and hopefully you learned something new today. If you want to learn more about Andy Pratigo, head over to essoft.com. It's ESSOFT.com. If you want to learn more about Phil Kerper, head over to ringlingbusinesssolutions.com. It's RINGLINGBUSINESSSOLUTIONS.com. If you want to learn more about Dave Chrysler, head over to thechrysler.club. It's CryslerCLUB. If you want to learn more about Angela Thurman, head over to thurmanco.com. It's thurmanco.com. Links and more information will also be available in the show notes. If anything in this podcast resonated with you and your business, you might want to check other related episodes, including the interview with Rich Said, who describes his journey and the pitfalls of implementing six ERP projects throughout his career. Also, the interview with Randy Johnston from K2 Enterprises, who discusses why process documentation is essential to manage growth. Also, don't forget to subscribe and spread the word among folks with similar backgrounds. If you have any questions or comments about the show, please review and rate us on your favorite podcasting platform or DM me on any social channels. I'll try my best to respond personally and make sure you get help. Thank you, and I hope to get you on the next episode of the WBS Podcast.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the WBS Podcast. Be sure to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform so you never miss an episode. For more information on growth strategies for SMBs using ERP and digital transformation, check out our community at wbs.rocks. We'll see you next time.